chapter 4 on our series on miraculous living. Today I'm titling it Miracle in the Making. And for me to get there, let me tell you a funny story that happened this week to me. It's funny how that sometimes, have you ever done something that when you walk, turn around and walk away, you laugh at yourself? Because it couldn't have been better humor, unplanned humor than that moment. And so during my preparations on Friday last week, I was here in the building keeping an eye on one or two projects. And one of those projects was setting up a couple of pallets outside in a pavilion style, an amphitheater style. You know, as Greeks, we do like our amphitheaters. We build them wherever we can, you know. And I went to inspect how the work was going, and I'm midway through my message, and I've categorized it as a message about a gap. And you'll see the humor of that in a moment, because I'm talking about how to step in a gap. And I get to the top and I say to the team, hey, there's too big a gap here. A young person could very easily put their foot in there and then they would be stuck. And they agreed and they said, okay, we'll pull it closer together, make sure there are no gaps. And as I turned to tell them something else, I put my foot in that gap. But wait, I thought I was still in my 20s, and I'm not, as you know, I'm in my 30s. And as I put my foot in the gap, I pulled myself clean out of it and put my back out. So I landed up at the Cairo later that day, slightly drugged on anti-inflammatories, not the other type, and thinking for the hour I was there, you want to preach about a gap. Jesus will show you how to put a bit of emotion into a gap. Well, I do want to talk about creating a safe space to step out spiritually. Whatever your spiritual level is, as far as your comfort to do things spiritually, I want to talk to you about how to create a space where there is a comfortable combination of heaven and earth in your life. You know that God deliberately created our world to include problems. Problems are a necessary gap for possibilities to flourish. When you plant something in the ground, you first have to make a gap in the earth, a hole. Nothing grows, nothing develops, no new businesses are sprouted until you first encounter a gap in the market or a problem in the environment or an emptiness in your heart. Until you have something deficient, you won't pray for something significant. Is that clappable? You know, even with 100 people in the room, we're clapping here. Can't wait to have people in the building. Well, so I want to talk to you about how these gaps God deliberately created so that we would have a desire and a combination between earth and heaven, the dirt and the divine. And there is something about that all through Scripture, right from the very beginning. How did God make man? Well, he took some dirt out of the ground, and then he breathed this spirit in it so that there was dirt and divine. And how did Christ come into the earth? We call it the miraculous conception because it is the body of humanity and the spirit of eternity come together to change the world. So there's this blend, if you will, of you in your weakness or your humanity and God in his supernatural divinity working together. I might even say to you that a lot doesn't happen in the world because we don't get that partnership right. We either want to go without God, or we want to not go at all and send God. Both of those are not options that will work. God is not sent by us. God comes with us. And so there's this challenge on how to create a safe space for us to step out spiritually. And so let's go to John chapter 1. I beg your pardon, John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and verse 1, it says this. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, I love these questions. Who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind. I mean, whose fault is it, you know? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened. Just think about these words. This thing, whatever it is, whatever your blind spot is, whatever you were born with that you wish you weren't or wish you had of, whatever it is that you think is a deficiency, God says this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, and when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, and I brought some mud here to practice on you all. He spit on the ground. That was a joke. He spit on the ground. Some troll's going to like... Made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, the words of the one sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. There's so much in that verse. You know, we love to say, I'm the light of the world. Well, this verse teaches us practically what being the light means. It doesn't mean standing on a street corner with a sign that says turn or burn or the end is now, or, you know, repent, or it's not that. It means to be the light and to be sent and to see a situation and to be the dirt and the divine, to combine it all together and to be a miraculous contributor to the world we live in. A miraculous contributor. So that things are left blind, broken. They're born that way. It was designed that way. You were born with a gap in your heart that nothing will fill until you find the gospel of Jesus Christ and you accept him as Lord and Savior. You were made that way. Everything in our world is made with a deficiency so that God can be the sufficiency for the deficiency and that people will magnify God because of it. It's the way the world was made. We should stop moaning about the fact that things don't work well. They don't work well because you're here to make them better. Amen. So this passage of scripture is an interesting theological passage. It asks the question about whether you were born as a problem. And it answers the question at the same time that we were not born problematic to God. We were born as a possibility. We were born ready to receive. You see, if a receptacle is full, it can receive nothing. We were born in a way that allows God to fill us. Part of the Bible talks about us being a holy temple built up in this, with the Spirit of God occupying our lives. All the problems you see in your life and in the world are meant to be there. They're gaps for God to fill. But we're not very adventurous, are we? We keep asking others to fill it. We hope the government will fill the gaps. We hope our employer will fill the gap between our paycheck and our debit orders. I shouldn't say that at this time of the year. The month end, he's got to bring up debit orders. Is there anything worse than receiving that SMS series during church on a Sunday morning when your bank reminds you that today we will take all the money you received on Friday? There are these deficiencies and gaps that are created so that you and I can live supernatural lives. Instead, we judge the world, or we bemoan it, or we get saddened and depressed by it. And we shouldn't. You know, when I heard of the tragedy around some really bad decisions young people made, young people who knew each other, young people who made a series of choices from the week before already, I didn't think this is awful and leave it at that. I thought this is awful and the world needs an awakening. My job is clearer that the next generation of young people must know what it feels like to have the warmth and authority and power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts rather than trying to find warmth and authority and power in other places that will leave you feeling robbed. The devil made a gap. I have every intention that it should be filled by the presence and power of Christ. And remember, I can't ask God to go and do nothing. And I can't go at it on my own. I'll feel like I'm making no difference. But put the Spirit of God in a human being willing to surrender themselves to say, Lord, use me. Let me tell you, things can radically change. Gaps get filled. So I thought it would be good if we spent the next 10 minutes talking about those gaps and how you can step out into them. There are three I've sort of picked to talk about today. They're not the only ones, but the three I think are soft launches, easy. The first is the weary gap. You know, the weary gap is the fact that the whole world. You and I at one stage also feels tired. The whole world feels tired. Not because of COVID. I mean, we may be tired of it. But the whole world feels tired. There is a weariness in the heart of man that only the wind of the Spirit can repair. And one of the first steps you can take is to learn to shine your light. Be a light. You know, this gap must be something you and I should be careful not to fall into. We shouldn't fall into the gap of feeling like we're broken all the time. We should instead say, Lord, thank you that where I am weak, you are my strength. When I feel poor, impoverished in some way, you are my riches. Now, there's a weariness gap that comes in our lives when we are without Christ, but also when we are without Christ's ways. You know, when I received Christ, I felt peace. But then I had to make peace with a lot of things after that. You see, I get peace, and then I must make peace. You have to make peace with the fact that you're married. You have to make peace with the fact that you're single. You've got to make peace with the fact that you've got this in your life or that. You've got to make peace with a lot of things. I have three brothers. I don't talk about them too much because they get so annoyed. Quite correctly. They say, you get up on Sunday, you talk to a lot of people. We've got no one to talk to tell them about you. Someday I shall invite them here, line them up and say, okay, say what you want to say. No. Order. You carry on like that, I'll send you to Cape Town. She's literally moving to Cape Town tomorrow, but I thought I'd throw in an authoritative joke there next week. But I have two brothers who are married, one brother who's dating a girl for a very long time, absolutely wonderful girl. And one of the residents in St. Lucia, when I was there last week, said, look, your brother's taking quite long to marry her. Why don't you just marry her? I said, look, no woman should be punished by having to date two slow Greeks. Has she not suffered enough? They agreed, which annoyed me even more. I walked away from the conversation annoyed at my own joke. Well, you have peace of God, but then you must make peace with things. We don't make peace with a lot of stuff, and so you get weary. You don't make peace with your finances, so you're weary. And you don't make peace with your neighbor, and you don't make peace with your family, and you don't make peace with your own ambition, and you get weary. Do you know, when you don't make peace with things, you enter into a thing the Bible calls striving. It's to force something forward without God's help. If you've got ambition that you haven't made peace with, then it'll become harmful ambition. You'll stand on your own family to get somewhere and land up saying things to your wife and kids like, but I do all this for you. And they'll land up saying, I don't want those things, I want you. Making peace with things doesn't make you weak. Making peace with things makes you full of authority so that you can manage the pace of filling the gaps in your world. Today, maybe you're watching and listening and you're tired. You're tired of whatever. Doesn't matter, fill in the missing. The answer lies in letting the Holy Spirit come and fill every gap in your life and then turn the light on and let the light fill every gap in your house. He first fills the heart, and then you must fill the house. See, if you don't work those two things together, then what happens is that you have the light, but you live in darkness. Well, that's awful, isn't it? Have the light, but you live in darkness. And so it's an easy start. Shine the light. Step out in faith supernaturally and put spiritual principles into making peace with things. Go shake hands with, are you legally allowed to do that? You're not. Go elbow greet whoever you have no peace with and settle a matter. Resolve that you will walk by faith in your finances. Go and resolve that your relationship, if you are not married, will be a God-honoring relationship. Turn the light on, but it sounds like I'm being literal. But maybe with some people it should be literal. Turn the spiritual light on, and then also when you get home, just keep the light on. Truthfully, you have to let the light not only come, but the light also shine. And the Bible is awash with scriptures. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. It sets it up. You have to do that. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 to 8, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Isn't it interesting that the jar of clay, treasure inside thing, and the light is all in one scripture? That we have this light, it shines in our hearts. We are clay, but we have godly treasure. Do you see the combination between the dirt and the divine? Look, you're never going to be perfect, but you can hold to a perfect God who gave you a perfect salvation and set you up for a perfect future. I am not the source, I am the recipient. So my perfection is irrelevant. Christ's perfection is all that is relevant. It's all that is relevant. Do you know that if I felt I had no gaps in my heart, my life, my thinking, and my attitude, I might decide I didn't need a God. But the very fact that I have gaps opens me up to receiving something supernatural. And I want to encourage you, fill the weary gap in every area. Have peace and make peace. The second thing I want to talk to you about is the gospel gap. You know, the gospel gap is a great way to step out spiritually. Now, I wish I had been taught this a little earlier. Not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wish I'd be taught that a little earlier because I don't have to explain it. You know, I really don't have to explain it. I just have to express it. Don't fall into the trap of explaining your faith. Just express your faith. Now, imagine you fall in love with someone. Perhaps there's a forlorn lady in St. Lucia waiting for someone to marry her. Suppose you were to fall in love with someone, and someone says to you, well, there's a lovely lady. Are you guys, you know, a thing? And you go, yeah, I'm a thing. We love her. You don't have to explain it. You just have to express it. It would be quite rude of your friend to say, can you explain to me why you feel that way? Well, my explanation will not meet your expectation. Because if I say, well, I think she has lovely hair, you might look and go, looks the same as everybody else's hair. You see what I mean? I might say, well, I quite fancy the way she talks. And you listen and you think, well, you know, she speaks in E flat. I don't know. What do you like about that, you know? One might say, she has a way about her. And you look and you think, actually, that way might irritate me, you know? I don't know. Isn't love an amazing thing? You know, the very thing that one person finds untenable, someone else finds incredible. You know, one person will look and go, oh, I just love the way they eat. And another will go, I can't stand how they eat. They eat like camels. You know? Camel eats sideways. Just FYI, that's the joke. My affection for my Savior doesn't need explaining, but it does need expressing. You've got to get out of hiding or being ashamed of the gospel. I am unashamedly a tithe giver. I'm unashamedly a church attender. I'm unashamedly a Bible owner, carrier, and reader. I unashamedly hold to a moral standard that says something should be in marriage and something should not be in marriage. And I'm unashamedly an expression of what the gospel says is true, and let every man be a liar. But this is the gospel truth. At some point, you have to express it. I mean, you don't have to explain it, though. Let each person decide for themselves if your expression resonates with theirs. But you do have to step out. You know, there is a gap in the world, and that gap is waiting desperately for the church, the believer, to step out and fill it. The worse things get, the greater my assignment to get going. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, let light shine in the darkness. I beg your pardon, Acts 19, I'm in the wrong section. Acts 19, 11 says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So that even handkerchiefs, if you ever wanted to know how to spell handkerchief, because it took me several handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illness was cured and the evil spirits left them. And in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Do you know what I love about that passage of scripture? Some people couldn't get their relatives to where this guy was. They couldn't get their relatives to the church. They couldn't get their friends to come to a service. So they did the next best thing they could think of. They actually took the ordinary of a cloth, and they took it there and they said, pray over this cloth and take this cloth to my friends. The point I'm making, look at the effort to get the gospel good news to a world that needed it. If I couldn't even get you there, I'm going to get something there, and I'm going to get that something in your hands, and we are going to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It still changes everything, everywhere. And you need to step out. Can't be ashamed of these things. You know, after a while, you know, there's that old quote, that's a joke, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. Well, there's a bit of truth to that, you know. That's how those things stick around. They stick around because there's a bit of truth to it. God does extraordinary things. Come on, why not us also doing some extraordinary things? What was the extraordinary thing? Well, nothing more than bringing the gospel of salvation expressed to friends and family and colleagues and neighbors in an appropriate way. Please don't go to work tomorrow with, you know, Jesus loves you, ask me how. Although that might actually work like that. I'm using a weight loss program now, a modified version. I lost my sins, ask me how. You don't need to do that. But what I think you've got to do unashamedly, you know, unashamedly is important. Sometimes I think that we Christians have taken the view that we should hide because people will think we're old-fashioned. I want to encourage you today that it's not necessary to hide, but it is necessary to shine. And I want to encourage you to be careful that we don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's a gap in the world that has got a supernatural experience to it. Nothing will fuel you with as much hope as a friend coming to you one day and saying, John was in a dark place, and you shared a podcast with me. You shared an idea with me, and it changed my life. Let your light shine. Finally, the God life, a church-wide gap. Do you know that the church doesn't work without people? I know it sounds weird, but what I mean is, when we come together, that's another safe place to step out spiritually. Pray a prayer with someone, offer a cup of coffee, carry somebody's burden, look somebody in the eye and say, great to see you. When we gather, God leaves gaps. The church is deliberately imperfect so that you would use God in your heart to fill the gaps that you see in your church. You were born imperfect. The world is imperfect. And the church is imperfect. Because those are the gaps where God can do something supernatural. That's where the divine and the dirt meet in the middle. And we can say, surely this is the hand of the Lord. All glory goes to God. It's meant to be that way. If you find a perfect church, the joke goes, don't join it, you'll spoil it. I disagree. If you find a perfect church, you just haven't been there long enough. Stick around. The pastor will forget your name. Some new visitor will sit in your seat. You know, our churches have their seat. You know, that spot you sit at, now there's this other Tony there. It'll happen. The music will get too loud. It'll get too soft. It'll look like a disco. It won't look like a disco. What is a disco? I don't even know. I'm on double shift today. I'm doing the night service too, so I'm already on the adrenaline rush. 1 Corinthians 14, I must wrap up, says this. When you come together, each of you has a criticism. Wait, no. Each of you has a hymn. I misread, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. You see, he left a gap. He left a gap. Let me end with a little controversial little something, because we haven't had much controversy lately. Now, there's a passage in the Bible. Stay calm. I'm going to end now. There's a passage in the Bible where it says to the woman that they should keep quiet in the church. Anyway, I thought I'd end there. No, I'm joking, I'm joking. I've just started. Hang on. It's a pity you can't read it in Greek, and that's an old joke, but it's meaningful because there's a translation flexibility there, and it caused confusion. It actually says, I'm presently asking the woman not to talk and let the men do some talking. What had happened in that church? You've got to read this properly. What had happened in that church was that the men went out golfing, the women came to church, and they ran things as are usually run by women very well. Then the men came back. They thought, well, they don't need us here, which most women would agree with. And the men came back and thought, well, we don't need them here. And Paul realized, listen, if I don't make a gap, then the men will become weak. And then the woman won't want to be with a weak man. So I think what I got to do, I got to say to the ladies, make a gap and give the boys a chance. They're going to be slow, but give them a chance and they're going to pray a prayer eventually. Give them a gap. You see, the principle is without a gap, there is no godly opportunity. And your deficiency is God's sufficiency. And the dirt blends with the divine and the saliva blend together. You wash yourself in a place called scent because we were all sent. And then people came back seeing. And the total of that is that men would give glory to God. That people will say, you go to this place, it's a warehouse. Guy gets up, a couple of musicians get up. And then somewhere in all of that, I have goose flesh. Because somewhere in the dirt of humanity, the presence of the divine came. And once I was blind, but now I see. Would you stand with me as we pray? And so, Lord, we are deeply grateful that you consider us. What is man that you're mindful of us? That you consider us as vessels, as jars of clay. Thank you, Lord, that this great treasure within us is supernatural and divine, and that in the gap there is the glory. Would you help us today not to stumble and fall in a gap, but instead to see it as an opportunity for something glorious to grow. Those of us taking this very moment in reflection might have that weariness without Christ. I pray that right now this morning, people will reach out, whenever they hear this message, will reach out of their hearts and simply say, Christ, come and be my Lord and Savior. And that salvation will enter and the weariness will go and new life will grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.